Hello and welcome to episode 47 of the Blue Cup Tools podcast. I am Francisco Gonzalez, also known as Grundislav, depending on who you ask, and with me as always.
Hello, I'm Ben Chandler. How are you going?
I'm going well. How are you going?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. Good. Thank you for asking. Very polite of you.
Well, you know, I try and be polite as much as I can.
Yeah, try being the operative word, but you know.
Yeah, you know, I don't.
For once, you succeeded.
Good. Good. I'm glad. Impressed. I'm glad to hear it. So, Chandler,
things are, what's change is going to come, as Sam Cooke said.
A wind from the east is blowing.
Okay. I don't remember that bit, but okay.
I was making a completely different reference. But
I know.
Okay,
I know.
Good. So, Chandler, how have you been? It's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks. I've been good. I've been busy. I'm always doing something.
Yeah, you're a very busy man.
So it's been good. I've had a lot in my head. My head hasn't been empty as of late.
Good.
So, but it's just still all making games and playing games. It's nothing different to normal. What about you?
Oh, I've had a very empty head.
Good.
No, actually, I've been very busy myself. Things are starting to come to a head now as far as production on A Golden Wake. I have my first voice recording session tomorrow, and we've pretty much scheduled the entire month of June with voiceover. So, yeah, it's going to
okay.
be a, it's going to
be
out
month. And about a bit.
Yeah, I'm going to be over at Dave Gilbert's for 2 hours a day, pretty much every day for the next 30 days.
Oh, it'll be something different.
Yeah, sure, it'll be something different. And you know, music's coming in, and we had a little talk, and we have a release window now, so it's all good. It's all coming together.
Okay. You're using all industry buzzwords like release window, which makes me laugh.
I know. Well, it's release window because we don't have a set date. We just have a time when... You know, we'd like
okay.
to have it out.
Well, that's you got a rough estimate, which is probably better because you're not
yeah,
held to a
exactly
a you're rough not held estimate. To an annoying and stressful deadline.
Yes, exactly.
Good.
Yeah, good. So you've been playing games. What have you been playing?
I've been playing lots of games. Well, I haven't been playing many games this week because it's been a busy old week for me. But I've been a couple of weeks ago, I finally got around to getting Act 1 of Broken Age, which I played and finished and liked a lot. And I also finally got around to playing Gone Home because it wouldn't work on my old laptop
and
my old desktop was. So yeah, I really enjoyed both of those a lot. They were great.
Good.
And yeah, I finished Skate 2 and I've been playing little games and just, you know. There was a new one just came out on GOG and I bought it and played through a few levels and I forget what it's called. Where Is My Heart, maybe? I don't know. It was interesting. It made my head hurt a bit. Tricky puzzles, so yeah. Well, not so much puzzles, just levels designed in a puzzly way.
I see.
So that's pretty good. Yeah. And I've been playing a few like lame free-to-play games on my tablet like for 10 minutes before I go to bed each night. What about you?
I haven't really been playing anything except from Grand Theft Auto 5, and I haven't even really been playing too much of that lately. Mm-hmm. I'm a little disappointed in all in Watch Dogs which came out this week, and I've been hearing things about it, and I was really looking forward to that game, but it seems like it's not very good.
We'll see.
I saw a review of it today, and they mentioned that it was very good as far as like being a stealth cover shooter with hacking elements, but
okay.
And it did that really well, but the driving wasn't that as well polished as it could be, and the story is pretty much absolute garbage, so
okay.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Well,
but whatever.
Yeah, we'll see.
I watched a live stream actually of some people playing it when it came out, and the same people who I watched the Beyond Two Souls let's play of. And they had a live chat, and I asked them, because I was curious, does it feel next-gen? And they said, no, not really. I mean, aside from looking nice, a little bit nicer, it really didn't feel like anything that couldn't have come out on the current or the previous generation. So
okay. Well, I expect from now, like between PlayStation 2 and Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, there was a huge jump in like things that they could do in terms of shaders and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
it wasn't just polygon count, whereas I'm not sure what new shaders they've got yet. You know, at the moment, it's all going to be probably polygon count and just normal stuff like that. So until they invent some crazy new tech, I don't know how much it's going to feel or look next gen. Yeah. You know?
I mean,
it's a slow,
they
it's
made
a slow
good point.
Process.
It was a, there was a bigger, you could notice it more because obviously of the polygon count and everything was, it was a pretty big jump between, you know, PS2 and PS3. But
well, PS2 was actually really, really weak compared to the GameCube and Xbox.
Yeah. Well, in any
it
case,
it was severely underpowered.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I remember when they ported GTA 3 and Vice City to Xbox, like they actually had but much better graphics. They had like finger definition and stuff, which was kind
of
cool.
Yeah, I think you're talking in terms of processing power. If I remember right, PlayStation 2 was somewhere like 200 something megahertz and Xbox was like 700 megahertz.
Oh, wow.
So it's, they don't even compare, man.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
you know.
In any case, the jump from that generation to the previous generation was pretty significant graphics wise and everything, and you know, how many enemies and all that crap you could have on the screen at the same time, that sort of thing. But they also made the point, which is true, which if you look at games that came out right at the beginning of the PlayStation 3 and 360's life cycle versus the games that came out towards the end when they were really pushing the limits of the hardware, there's a pretty big difference between that. So
yeah, that's,
give it a,
people get used to their limitations.
Yeah,
and stuff.
If you give it time, I'm sure there'll be definitely next-gen games coming out soon enough.
One thing that I really hope is that the addition of more RAM is very noticeable, because I notice with my PlayStation 3 sometimes there's slowdown, there's texture popping, you know, especially with Unreal Engine, the texture popping can be extremely jarring. So I'm hoping all that stuff gets sort of taken care of, because that stuff's, you know, there's work to be done, and yeah, I'm not looking so much for better graphics as much as I'm looking for a more cohesive, you know, less immersion-breaking experience. Every time I get a little bit of a slowdown or something on my PlayStation 3, I'm like, man, I wish this thing had more RAM. I don't even know how much RAM it's got. I think it's at like 512 meg or something stupid tiny like that.
What games are you playing that slow down?
I play, well, anything open world.
Really?
You know.
I've never
really
noticed it slow down to the point where I'm taken out of the game.
Well, not taken out of the game, but you still notice it slightly, you know?
I guess. I'm really curious to see if, like, the next Fallout game or I guess Elder Scrolls... I don't think there will be another Elder Scrolls before Fallout, but I'm curious to see the next Bethesda open-world game.
Yeah.
How it'll be next-gen, because they were never really great graphics. Like, they took advantage of the previous generation's just processing power and size.
Yeah, you know, and also like you can pick up everything and throw everything, and you know, you can throw a bottle into 60 other bottles. I collected all of the empty cola bottles in Fallout New Vegas and threw them all into a lake, every single one of them, which took a long time. So
what,
you know,
a litter
just,
bug.
Just that takes up a lot of processing power, all that physics rendering at once,
you know. Man, it's not bad enough that the world has gone to hell because it's been blown up by a nuclear apocalypse. You have to
litter?
Yeah. Jeez, man.
Yeah.
You should be helping the world, not destroying it further.
I was helping the world.
How?
Well, if somebody got down there and they're like running out of breath and they're drowning, they could like upend the bottles and be like, which one's got air in it?
That is a weak excuse.
I don't care.
If like some hobo was coming by with his shopping cart and wanted to recycle the cans for a nickel, could make some... Well, wait.
Dude, did you see a recycling center in New Vegas anyway?
And they don't have nickels anymore either.
No, they've got caps.
Yeah. Oh well.
So yeah, I don't know. It takes them a fair while to develop a new Elder Scrolls game when they do develop one. But it took a fair while to develop a new Fallout game between you know, the last Brotherhood of Steel and Fallout 3. So who knows?
Yeah. Who knows?
You know. Both of them are very big money-making franchises.
Absolutely.
So it'd be pretty strange for them not to do another.
Yeah, well, there's plenty of money-making franchises that are going to be next-gen and probably look pretty much the same, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Anyway, moving on from this
silly topic. Do you know, I was talking...
Or not.
To someone the other day, and I said, you know the game that'll tip me over the edge on buying a PlayStation 4? I'm not getting an Xbox One because I'm not an idiot. That's mean. I'm sure it's a lovely machine.
I'm sure it's lovely for some things.
Yeah, if you like watching TV in America.
Yeah, exactly.
And consuming a ton. Man, I saw how much power that thing consumes the other day. That thing is not efficient.
Really?
It's less powerful than PlayStation 4, but it consumes tons of power, man. That thing sucks heaps of juice.
That's not good.
It should... Yeah, no, it's not good. It's mostly like leaving it on standby because it's meant to be voice activated with the thing. So you walk in and you get Xbox on. And that's draining a lot of power the whole time. So,
what if you know. What if you're like... What if you're at home, right? And you're like on your sofa with your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your significant other or wife or
what your have cat. You.
Well, hopefully not your cat.
Because, well, it depends what you're doing in the example, but okay.
Well, yeah. My example is what if you know, you're fooling around and you have a moment of passion and like one of you screams, "Oh, sex mocks fun." And
this sounds like a protest chant that you'd write on your sign. And
your Xbox turns on in the middle of like doing it, and it's awkward because the Xbox is like, "Hello."
Can I suggest that the fact of shouting this out at that point, no matter whether the Xbox One turns on or not, is going to be awkward for everybody?
Well, that was a bad example, but what if you say something that sounds like Xbox on?
Okay. I'm waiting.
I'm just saying. I can't think of anything, but I'm just saying. What if?
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, get your sexy socks on.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. What if you're like, "Hey, I love your."
Well, I say that constantly.
You have a special pair of socks that you only wear when you have sex, and you're like, "Get your sex socks on."
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it would be a problem. I honestly can't see that being the number one problem. I think the power usage is probably a bigger concern for me personally than anybody going, "Oh man, my night was ruined. You'll never guess what happened."
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I was saying the game that would tip me over edge, right, from not buying a PlayStation 4 to buying one, and this is very shameful to admit, but would be another game in the Skate franchise by EA. So
I see.
You're allowed to judge, but, you know.
I'm not going to judge because the game that might tip me is Batman Arkham Knight, so...
Yeah, here's the thing. See, you buy the same game every year, you know, it'll be Batman. Oh, we can go through a little bit more city, or it's Assassin's Creed, or you're a pirate this time. It's the same game. It's still Batman. It's still... Right. But I'm the same with Skate Man. I can't pick on people that buy the same exact sport game every year, be like, "Oh, why'd you get the same rugby game as last year?" Well, not rugby. What do you call it? Gridiron? Is that what it is?
Football.
Your football. Football. Well, here, football, something totally different.
I know.
So, you know, I can't pick on people who buy the exact same game every year, but they're like, "Oh, it's got a different players roster this year." Because I'm like that with skateboard games. So,
yeah,
you know.
And I'm like that with action-adventure games. That would,
That would throw me over the edge. Not throw me over the edge. I still haven't finished Uncharted 2, by the way. I'm like right near the end. Can't bring myself to do it.
And we still need to play The Last of Us.
We do. I've got a little bit less faith in The Last of Us after playing Uncharted 2 and not liking it at all.
Well,
so
everybody was all excited about it and how it was a departure for Naughty Dog as far as like being really good story-wise. So we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
There's also the jar that I have to put money in. Game, the Scottish game, the game that will not be named. There's plans to play that in the summer, so got to step up on that.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah, it will be good. Goodness. See what I did there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, let's talk about stuff. It's a podcast. Let's talk about stuff.
We have been, actually.
We put out a call last episode for people to suggest topics, and we've gotten a few suggestions, so we're gonna talk about
Isn't
a couple.
Isn't that a Foo Fighters song? Maybe it's not.
What?
Sorry, I don't know.
Is what a Foo Fighters song? Put out a call for a topic?
This is a call, I don't know. Oh. It's been too long since I've listened to Foo Fighters to know. I'm sorry, Dave.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Continue, sorry.
I was just saying that we have a couple of topics we can discuss this episode.
We do. Let's do that with our vocabularies and our enthusiasm.
Yes.
The two most essential elements for a podcast.
Absolutely.
Well, that and the internet and like recording software and microphones and stuff.
But speaking of playing games, by the way, what are you playing currently?
Skate 2.
Okay.
I've actually finished it, but
and yet you've gone back and played it again.
Yeah, because this is like the one game that I've gone through and I've like 100%ed everything.
It's your podcast game, really.
You can switch off and you can just play it, you know. I was going to play the game that I just got some more, but it's hurting my head. I'm like, no, I can't play a thinking game while I do a podcast or people will know.
Yeah, probably.
Like when I was playing Shadowrun with Dragonfall, Ilyich told me there's a bit you can totally hear I'm reading one of the characters' backstories because it's pretty involved. So, oops. I don't care.
I didn't notice. I was probably too busy talking.
I have to secretly wonder when I did the Doom Engine podcast with Anatoly, I wonder if he knew that I was playing Doom 2 the whole time we were talking. I think I kept it a secret, but I don't know.
That's some dedication.
Sorry, Anatoly.
That's some dedication right there.
Well, it was getting me in the spirit, you know. Doom,
yeah, sure.
Because I just played a little bit because I wanted to remember one of the map names. I couldn't remember what it was called, so I played up to it the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And after playing that, I'm like, man, I've forgotten how good Doom 2 is. I got to play it more. It's one of these games. You know what I'm like when it comes to Doom.
Yeah, I do.
Anyway, sorry.
Oh, don't apologize.
I'm a tangent man this morning. I'm like you with your background the other day.
Oh, you hush. I will throw things at you. I'll throw them out the window and they'll fly.
That's the System of a Down song.
They'll fly all the way across the world and fly to Australia.
That's a strong arm you got there, dude.
I've been practicing my pitching for when I get.
You've been practicing something, yeah.
No, shut up! I have not. Man, if you could get a good pitching arm from that, Jesus, there'd be a lot more pitchers in this world, let me tell you.
Yes, sir. Continue. Let's move on.
Anyway, so the first topic comes to us from Rizulka, who wishes to know about annoying characters. And specifically, she wants to know, how do you write annoying characters and not make them extremely annoying, but just annoying enough? And I'm assuming she's talking about characters like Malachi Rector from Mobius, antiheroes who really are not supposed to be nice people, but who still you want to make them likable. Like antiheroes, basically.
Okay, well, I don't know. As soon as you said annoying characters, I thought of Nooba from Baldur's Gate, who's comedy annoying. Like, he follows you around. He's like, hey, what are you doing? Why are you guys holding swords? Are you going to hit someone with the swords? Like, every 2 seconds he's got a thing. And it's a comedy thing, you know? It's not done, like...
Sure.
To a great degree, but yeah. And if you don't hit him, like, after 5 minutes, he's like, oh, man, everyone else has hit me. Thanks for not hitting me. Here, have this thing. It's like, it's a fun little reward. But
yeah,
if you do characters like that constantly throughout the game, people are going to probably quit.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm fine. We kind of covered this when we talked about companion characters, and...
Yeah...
We pretty much decided that most companion characters can be pretty annoying, but if you want to make a game where your main character is an anti-hero, or how do you make them not insufferable?
Actions and words are two different things.
Sure.
You know, so you can make a character be like, you know, a lot of people define characters through their words, not through their actions, if you know what I mean. Like, mm-hmm. I complain about this with Grand Theft Auto games a lot, because you've got these Grand Theft Auto games where you're going around being a nice guy all the time within the missions, like in cutscenes and stuff like that, and then you get into a taxi, you steal a taxi, and you run down 50 people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, actions speak louder than words sometimes, but a lot of the times, you know, people rely on the words to dictate the character's personality. Because the gameplay means that you can, you know, you can just be a total asshole. Whereas, you know, you wouldn't call CJ from San Andreas like a mean-spirited person, you know? If you talk to him in the cutscenes, he's like this... Well, he's kind of a wimp, really.
Yeah, he really is.
But then you get him in the game and you're like, you know, you got your assault rifle out and you're shooting down old ladies and, you know, all this stuff. So it's like... In that case, I think sometimes we could do a little bit more to make sure our characters' actions are what represent them, mm-hmm. you know? So, and also I think to make a character annoying, I think if you're going to give them like these anti-hero type qualities, make sure it's justified. in a sense, you know. I complain about Tomb Raider Legend, where you start playing the game and you climb up this cliff and you come up, you walk behind an enemy and the enemy hasn't seen you there. And this is like the very first bad guy you've seen in the game. There's been no cutscenes to say that this guy's an enemy, except this little pop-up comes up that says, press R1 to shoot. That's not justified. The dude's done nothing to me. I'm an archaeologist, not a serial killer.
Well, you become one, certainly.
Yeah, but you should become one through necessity and playing it. If I was playing like God of War, that's fine because I'm a big angry undead guy or whatever I am, you know. Whereas in that game, no, that's not justified at all. So yeah, I also think you were watching a play of Beyond Two Souls recently, and you were complaining about to me, and I was saying to you, you know. What do you expect from David Cage? And I'll say this thing, a lot of the times people try to force an emotion on a character without really giving them sort of any strength.
Mm-hmm.
Like they make a character like, oh, this is the bit where we want players to feel sad. And instead of making a character, you know, have any sort of personal strength, they go, okay, it's time to be sad, even if it doesn't feel justified. So, you know, if you're going to have a character be, you know, some psychopath, have it justified. Have, you know, like Malachi Rector, I don't know because I haven't played Mobius, so I can't really talk about that. But in discussions with various people, you know, we were talking about, they're actually, I talked to one person who reviewed it and they said they liked everything about it except the game itself seems to hate women, which, well, you know, I was like, well,
yeah,
I don't know. But the whole point was to make it seem like Malachi Rector was kind of Sherlock Holmesy, you know?
Sure.
Where Sherlock Holmes hasn't got much time for women. It's his whole thing. And it works in Holmes because the stories themselves are presented from the viewpoint of Watson. And Watson is not like that at all.
Right. You
know? So the stories themselves aren't the misogynist here, or the, you know, I don't know if the misogyny is the right word, but the person who's, you know, kind of cold towards women, it's the one character. So you can have a character that's like, you know, you can have a character that's homophobic without the game having to be homophobic. And I think that goes a long way to I want to talk about a game that I played recently, but I don't want to spoil it. I don't know if I should. You know, but you can have these characters that have this attribute without the game feeling distasteful by having the whole game feel that way, you know?
Sure.
So I think that goes a long way to make a character more sort of fit the story, because, you know, you don't get this constant barrage of the thing. It's just this one character feels this way and you go, okay, well, that's how they feel. That's their belief, you know? It's like, yeah.
I think it's important, too, to, if you're going to have a character that is annoying and who is, your intent is to have the player not care for this character, I think it's important also to make them not one-dimensional, because no one,
very, very true.
No one's one-dimensional. Everyone has, even if you're like the biggest asshole in the world, you still have feelings about something. I'm thinking right now, you played The Longest Journey. Remember there's that guy who lives across the hall from April and he asks her out on a date? And
yes,
and
I do.
He's a real creeper and like you can turn him down or you can stand, I think you can like agree to go on a date and like stand him up or something. Either way, it doesn't turn out well. And he gets really upset, and I remember that he has like the most unnecessary use of F-bombs in the entire game. He just like peppers them throughout his sentence.
Man, F-bombs is still a word? I didn't know we still use that. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, I'm very old-fashioned. Anyway.
Good.
So anyway, yeah, so this guy is designed to be an unlikable character. And, you know, they could have easily just been like, oh, well, he's just a jerk, he's annoying, whatever. But then later on, he calls the police because he hears that April, or basically he turns April over to the police, and as a consequence, or the bad guys who are in charge of the police, and as a consequence, they end up shooting one of April's friends and something else. And he has like a little moment of like, oh my God, what did I do? I didn't mean for it to be like this. So that's sort of his redeeming quality. Even though he's an insufferable asshole, he's still a human being. So you're kind of like, you know, it's not, he still has something about him that's not just completely, oh, I'm just a jerk and I'm just going to be the jerky character, you know?
all of my favorite character, all of my favorite villains have this relatable quality where there's something, if not empathy, you can form some sort of sympathy with them on some regard at some point, you know.
Sure.
Obviously they need to be, you know, to create the sort of conflict, you have to sort of have this, you know, thing about them that makes you disagree with them and makes you want to oppose them. Mm-hmm. But all of my favorite villains have some redeeming quality, except maybe for Imbully. Although I guess, you know, he seemed cool at first, you know. Well, so
he was just a spoiled little kid.
Yeah, but he felt fairly human, you know.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, so he's just. It's. I think that's very important. The thing you say there about characters having this redeeming quality. Everybody's human, and if you want to write a story that's believable, write your characters, whether good or bad, human.
Yeah. It doesn't even necessarily have to be a redeeming quality. It just has to be a quality that shows that they have more to their personality than just...
Right. You can sympathize with
right.
the character. Yeah. Relatability is everything here.
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah, I'm trying to think of annoying characters that aren't too annoying. It really depends on personal taste, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I recently played, as you know, I played this year, not recently, but the add-on pack to Shadowrun Returns, Dragonfall. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about the characters with a couple of people, and there's one character in there who's like the typical, you know, angry at you at first and eventually softens up to you, and some people cannot stand that type of character and some people quite like it, so some of it's down to personal taste.
Well, I liked Quest for Glory 4, where you show up to the village at the beginning and everyone's like very wary of strangers and they're all very cold and sometimes hostile to you, and as you keep on doing heroic things they warm up to you and you end up being like their favorite hero. I guess, but slightly, I don't know. I think it's
slightly
better.
Less artificial feeling.
Yeah, I mean, like, you actually feel like, you know, you've done stuff. It's not just like, you know, you do one thing and everyone's like, oh, hey, you're a great hero. It's like, you know, sure. You do a couple of things for a couple of townspeople. Like, you haven't played it, but like the very first thing that that you do is like one of the things that gets the town sort of thinking maybe you're not such a bad guy. Is you have to save Igor the Gravedigger, and the thing is, like, you save him and you do a heroic deed, but Igor is an outcast in the town, and so everyone's like, well, I guess it's nice that you saved Igor, but he's still a weirdo. So
yeah,
it's not like instant night and day sort
sure.
of. But then as you keep on doing more stuff, like, the town becomes more open and they accept Igor and, like, you know, stuff like that. So it's actually very well written as far as the change of the attitude in the people.
I like also, like, stuff that varies depending on your actions, where you can, you know, you can become more of a villain or, you know, more of an outcast depending on what you do. I remember in Baldur's Gate, the very first time I played it, you get to an inn in the game or a tavern, I forget. I think it's Fetal Posts. And there's a guy in there called Marl, and he comes...
Was that a word you just said?
Yeah.
Fetal
there's a
posts?
Guy in the game called Marl, and he comes up to you, and he's like, oh, you adventurers always coming in here with your swords, and, you know, you're putting bad ideas into people's heads, and you take all the glory, and us farmers get nothing. And, you know, so he and I got into a fight, you know, because I was like... The Bar and Brawl. And then I played it a second time, and I talked to him about it, and it turns out this guy's son wanted him to be a farmer, but the adventurers had come through, and the guy was like, oh, I want to be like them. So he went out to, like, make his dad a lot of money and ended up getting killed. So when you actually talk to the guy differently, you know, you get this story out of him, and you end up not friends, but on a friendly basis. I love characters that are dynamic like that, you know, that
sure.
respond to you. So if you act one particular way, you may never really know why something happened the same the other way around.
I think an important thing to consider, and this relates to the sympathy and making your characters not one-dimensional, an important thing to remember when you write your characters is people are the way they are because of something. There's a reason why they behind their motivations and everything. You
it's
know,
like actors say, what's my motive?
Exactly. What's my motivation or what's my motive or whatever? You know, the serial killer as well as like the hero, as well as the, you know, the villain and everything, they all do what they do because of something, whether it be, you know, the serial killer is just crazy, or maybe he had some sort of traumatic experience in his life which led him to murder people. You know, the villain who wants to take over the world, the evil wizard who wants to
I honestly never really thought of taking over the world as a very strong ambition. Maybe it's because it's overused, or maybe because I can't really relate to that. You know, where's the personal gain in that?
I don't know. I always thought that taking over the world...
Where's the personal gain in absolute power? There's nothing there. That's more of a nightmare than anything else, because you know you're eventually going to get killed. Someone's going to come and usurp you.
Yeah,
you
know, and it's so much responsibility. Why would you want to have the entire world to have to be aware of, you know? Like,
yeah. I never understood that.
What if you take over the world and then people are like, they come up to you and they're like, Mr. Wizard, you have to come save the people in the Amazon. They're dying. And you're like, and then
if you're evil enough to take over the entire world, you're probably not going to do anything, to be honest.
Yeah, but then what?
Go and rot.
But then what happens if it does rot and then the world goes to shit and then you're stuck with a dead planet? That's no fun.
Well, let's face the fact that it's just, there's nothing good about taking over the entire world. There's nothing good. Stop doing it.
Yeah. Taking over the world is just a lazy, or saving the world is just a lazy trope.
Yeah, I never got the saving the world thing, you know? Fight battles close to home that you can relate, your character can relate to personally. It's like Beyond Good and Evil, you know? It starts out small and it gets big.
Yeah. Well, even Beyond Two Souls, I'm gonna spoil it. Because I watched it, and it was stupid. It annoyed me how Beyond Two Souls went from being like, you know, oh, let's explore this idea of this entity, to just turning into a save the world story. Because they talk about the concept of the infra-world, which is basically the afterlife, or the other dimension where dead things live, and there's evil entities there.
Is that like the kind of domain in which David Cage's plot ideas make sense?
Maybe. I don't even know if they do.
Strange place.
Yeah.
Strange place.
Yes, it is. But anyway, there's this. They invent this thing called a condenser, which is basically a thing that can open portals and rifts to the infra world. And
sounds like Prey.
Yeah, and then they're just like, oh, the Chinese have their own, so you have to go on this secret mission to destroy it, because if the Chinese have one, then they could use it against us. And it basically becomes this patriotic garbage of... Which is funny.
Chinese people aren't insane.
Well, the Chinese government is depicted... I don't even know if they explicitly say Chinese, but it's they're Asian, and... They look on the map, it looks like it's China. So basically, it becomes the United States, the crazy United States military fighting against the crazy Chinese military for control of this thing that that can destroy the world. And at the very end, they have this Terminator 2-esque glimpse into the future where she's like wearing these futuristic clothes, and it's like, there's another one coming. I have to fight them. And it's like, come on.
Man, That's got me. I'm going to buy it. When's the sequel?
When people realize that David Cage can't make games.
Well, look, people love David Cage's games. So that's fine.
Name one.
No, I'm not going to. It's mean to them if I say it. But I've talked to people that like them.
Really? Oh, well, yeah, I guess.
I like Omicron the Nomad Soul.
Yeah, but that doesn't count. That's like saying you like The Sixth Sense and that you're a fan of M. Night Shyamalan.
That's true. Although I thought Indigo Prophecy was fun. I just, you know, it gets to the halfway point and you go, okay, well, who cares about the plot?
That's all of his games.
Kung Fu fighting.
That's all of his games, though. Every single one of them. But let's stop talking about David Cage games.
Yeah, well, you brought him up.
I did, because it was a perfect... See, because he's always a perfect example of how not to do narrative.
Yeah, and this is something I said to you the other week when I'm like, why do you keep watching these games that you know you're going to hate when you watch them? You know you're going to get annoyed. And you said to learn from his mistakes. And I say, well, play good games and learn from the good games rather than trying to learn from the bad games all the time. Instead of learning what not to do, learn what you can do.
And my rebuttal to that was, just like I get annoyed when my grandmother asks me, do you like this food? And I say no. And she says, well, have you tried it? I can't in good conscience say that I didn't like Beyond Two Souls if I hadn't experienced it. So I was willing to give it the benefit of the doubt.
If you listen to three albums by the same band, and the first one's okay, and the second one's all right, I guess, and then the third one's like, no, I don't like this. Why would you go and buy the fourth one? Or even listen to it?
Listen, I listened to the first White Stripes album and it was okay. I listened to the second White Stripes album and it was all right. I listened to the third White Stripes album and I loved it. Then I listened to the fourth one and it was okay. I listened to the fifth one and it was terrible. And then I listened to the sixth one and I thought it was their best work ever. So that's your point. That's me refuting your point right there. You can
never
tell.
Yeah, but there's so many other good games that I've told you about that you could go and play right now that you know are going to be good because I've told you, you know, you like this game, you'll love this game.
Yes, but I just... So, yeah, I get where you're coming from, but...
You're kicking yourself in the face if you watch this stuff and get annoyed by it.
I'm not annoyed by it. I just... Well, I am annoyed
by
it.
You... Every 5 minutes when you're watching the Lex plays, you're like, oh my god, oh god, oh god! I'm like, oh, okay. He's obviously really taking this to heart.
I like getting worked up about stupid shit. You know that.
Yeah, it's play a decent game.
Well, I didn't play it. I just watched it.
Well, watch a decent game. Go and get something different. Uh-huh. Get something else on your plate. There's plenty of cool stuff out there to try that's different. It's smaller and it's indie and it's quirky, but that's half of its strength.
Hey, I'm not against...
Did you play Glitch Hikers yet?
No, I haven't played Glitch Hikers
yet. Okay, play Glitch Hikers. It's free if you don't want to pay for it.
Okay.
And that's only like a 15-minute game, dude.
Okay. Well, I'll play Glitch Hikers.
You'll probably get more out of that than you'll get out of 15 minutes of Beyond Two Souls.
Probably. But anyway, talking about story and how that segues perfectly into the next topic, which was said...
Isn't a segue also the thing you ride around?
Yeah, but that's spelled differently.
We should get them to sponsor our podcast. We say the word enough and we can get them to secretly sponsor us and we can get one each and we can vroom.
I would not want to ride a segue. They're stupid.
Have
you ever seen the people at like the airport? Well, no. They have like security guards at the mall and the airport that ride around on segues and they wear helmets and they look like the biggest idiots ever.
I don't care about those people. I want to ride a Segway around. I don't care. I want to ride a two-wheeled future car around.
Anyway, they spell it Segway.
I don't care. We say it. It's not like it's written down. They'll never know.
I guess.
Well, dude, I'm trying to get us free stuff. Don't ruin this for me.
Okay, sorry. Well, if anyone from the Segway Corporation is listening, we love your futuristic two-wheel cars. Please send one to Australia and New York.
Yeah.
Respectively.
Yeah. I'll give you my address if you email me.
Yeah.
Or follow me on Twitter. Yeah, Segway people should follow us on Twitter.
Sure.
I'm at Ben_304.
Yeah, and I'm at Grunislav Games. Please send us future cars of the future.
Yeah.
Anyway, the other Segway, the one that's spelled Segue.
No. Shh. Don't ruin this, man.
We had a topic. I know. We had a topic request sent to us by Brian Demodulated.
Yeah.
And he wants to know, how do you decide what story or plot constitutes a good game? What is a proper goal or conclusion to a character's story? How do you decide which slice of a hero's life to represent as a game? And that's a very good question.
Good. Can I talk about a film?
You talking about a film?
You always get offended when I talk about films. Like, oh, you can't talk about films. You haven't watched enough. Like, you're some kind of amazing elitist. So I'm asking permission here.
I am an amazing elitist, and I do feel that way about you talking about films. But go ahead, I give you permission.
Okay, well, the film that really struck me as a good example of where to stop is a film called Children of Men.
Ah, yes.
Because the film ends not at the conclusion of the main plot thread, as it were, like the sort of MacGuffin coming to its, you know, holy resting place. But it ends at the point where a character has gone through a change and realizes, you know, he's done everything he needs to do. And I think that is the ultimate place to end a story. If you've got your main character and they've achieved the main thing, mm-hmm. like their change, their personal change, that's when a story should end. You know, I remember seeing a thing about a script writer, a person that goes over like screenwriters' scripts, an editor or whatever he is, and a producer maybe. I don't know film terms. And he said this thing, which is a dumb thing to say, but it kind of made sense. He said, if I get that many scripts these days that what I do is I read the first few pages and then I read the last few pages, and if I can see the characters change, that's when I start paying more attention to the script, you know. Mm-hmm. I think he said along the lines of, then I give the script the go ahead, which is a stupid general thing to say, because that can't tell if a script's good or not, but that's the main thing he looked for, you know. And to me, that makes perfect sense. When I look at all the games that I really like in terms of plot, their culmination is when a character's not so much overcome an amazing goal, but overcome part of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like when people tell me to make a sequel to Piss, I'm like, why? The one interesting thing that the character had going for them is now gone. They've made the change, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing interesting there. Anything after that for any film, it's like The Matrix, you know? The Matrix did exactly what it had to do, whether you like the film or not. You have to admit that the character went through his change and, you know, he was done. Why make two more movies after that, which are nothing? They don't add anything to the story. So yeah, that's what I personally look for in a story.
Sure, and I can cite a game which does that well, and which a lot of people were a little not disappointed, but some people had their opinions about the ending, and that's Blackwell Epiphany, in which you have your characters. They've been through this whole series of games, and the game ends, and there's certain plot threads which aren't explored and some things left open, and people were really about, you know, that was the main thing that people were like, oh, well, I thought that, you know, you established this one thing in this other game and you kind of just didn't really talk about it in this game. But I think that really was unnecessary, because I mean it was dealt with, and it was, you know, not finalized, but it was concluded in a satisfactory enough manner. But it was really about the story of Joey and Rosa, and that ended, and that, you know, it reached its conclusion, and that's it. You don't need to see anything else.
I think the thing to remember is, not only is there so much more world in any game that's unexplored and doesn't need to be explored by the writers, but there's also parts of a character's life that's unexplored. Like, you don't show characters getting changed, sleeping, go to the toilet, that stuff. It doesn't matter. That's
not
part.
Well, you do if you're in a David Cage game.
Well, that's different. You know, he tries to create. But that's the whole point, you know. You don't... There's certain things that you don't need to focus on in a character's life. If it's not telling the story, you don't need that in the script.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you should be committed, if you're writing a story, to showing the bits that affect the character's growth and development through that story. You don't need to, you know, you don't need to show every single footstep they take along the way.
Mm-hmm.
You need to show the ones that are important, you know. Otherwise, you know, a story that's set over the course of, well, take it. Imagine if you showed every single second of every single part of A Golden Wake. How many years does the game take place over?
Oh, man. Yeah, it takes place over 14 years.
Right, so you'd be playing a game for 14 years. That'd suck. Most of it would be really, really bad.
I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't mind having an adventure game that lasted that long. People always complain. Well, because people always complain the games are too short. And they're like, it took me 4 hours. That was too short. I want my money back.
I love games that take me 4 hours.
Yeah, me too. I'd rather play a lot of shorter games.
Well, usually they're more condensed. You know, they do more with the time than people that go, I've got a 40-hour game. What is it? Most of it is getting stuck or just hitting the same monster over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's boring. The thing. Like, take a game like The Walking Dead or any episodic game by Telltale. You know, you have these little 3-4 hour chunks of... Oh, I dropped my pen. You have
Stop
these little...
dropping things.
No, never. You have these little 3-4 hour chunks of gameplay, but every single moment counts, and it doesn't really... There's no excess, you know? Whereas you have a game like Grand Theft Auto 5 or Grand Theft Auto 4, for a better example, where it's like, oh yeah, this game takes, you know, 20, 30 hours to play. But the story just deviates on so many weird tangents that have nothing to do with anything, and it's just filler that you just kind of lose track of everything and lose focus.
Yeah, that's not like, you don't see films doing that.
No, you don't.
In terms of story, I mean, look, games aren't films. Games shouldn't try and be films. Games should try and be games.
Yeah.
You know, that's exactly what it is. But if you're talking about what you should put in your script, then we're talking about, you know, it's nice to have the additional stuff. But how do you pick a story is how do you decide what's going to make a story that people stick with? Yeah, it's about the character. It's about the main character and about their journey. For me, anyway.
Exactly. I'll tell you, when I first got the idea to do a Golden Wake, I thought about playing as, like, the player character be George Merrick, who is the guy who... Ooh. Yeah, and kind of have it be a biographical thing about him and, like, seeing his you know, his journey and his stuff.
His rise to power, as it were.
I guess, yeah. And, yeah, for those of you who don't know anything about a Golden Wake, George Merrick is, he's a pretty key figure in the history of the development of Coral Gables and what the whole game is about. He's basically a really important character in the game.
What's Coral Gables? Because until I talked to you, I had no idea what Coral Gables is, so maybe it's important to tell you that.
Coral Gables is a suburb of the city of Miami, which was built in the 20s during the land boom. And, well, if you want to know more about it, go check it out. Go to grunislavgames.com/agoldenwake or go to Wajidai Games and check it out there. Now that it's out in the open, I can pimp it more. But anyway.
Man, you look great with dollar signs in your eyes. That's all I'll say. Ka-ching! Fantastic.
They're not just in my eyes either.
I know.
Yeah. Anyway.
Hey, this is a family podcast.
Since when?
Well, true. We're generally nice people. Yeah. We've had our few little missteps, but we're generally nice.
Missteps? When did we have missteps? Oh, right. Oh, yeah. No. There was that time that I didn't say very nice things about.
Come on, move on.
See,
past is in the past.
Okay, senor, move on.
What a mean.
I got you.
You got yourself.
Come on. I got nothing. Anyway.
Come on, Paco.
You hush. No, don't hit me. Anyway, the point that I was trying to make with this story before I got off on describing it is that originally my idea was to tell the story of this guy and... While I found it interesting, I realized, you know, this isn't going to be something that's going to appeal to a lot of people because it's a very specific history and it's not something that's very well known. Like, you know, if you were to make a game about like the American Revolution or you know, the French Revolution or something more mainstream history, basically. Yeah. So. That's when I thought, okay, well, let me make up a fictional character and just have this whole thing be the backdrop to the story, and then I can tell stuff, make it about this character against this backdrop, which the backdrop's interesting enough, and it'll lead to telling interesting stories about this character. So I'm still, mm-hmm. I'm still expressing, it's still, you know, historical, and it still has things that actually happened, but it's about... It's a character study, so it's
right.
It's about the character more than the history. So
An example I really like to cite is Herman Melville's The Whale, or as most people know it, Moby Dick, in which it starts off as a book about whaling, and it's got a lot of whaling facts and everything like that, but when you boil down to the end of it and you get to the end of the book, you realize it's not been about whales at all. The whales are just the setting to establish this enormous... in-depth, really long and sprawling character study of this really eclectic group of people.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a book about whaling that, at the end of it, you know, you take so much more away from it than a story about whaling.
Mm.
It's the same, I think, that a lot of stories, you know, they use the setting as a backdrop, not as the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to figure out what your hero's story is, there's always the whole hero's journey thing. You have to figure out what you want your start point to be and what you want your end point to be in the story, and just go from there. I mean,
what's a good start point and what's a good end point?
Well, it depends on what story you want to tell. If you want to tell a story about, I don't know, like, let me use Ben Jordan as an example. Like, when we first meet Ben Jordan, he's, like, fresh out of college, and he's wants to become a paranormal investigator, and he's naive, and he's all, oh, I want to be a paranormal investigator, because that's what he sounds like. And throughout the course of the game,
Eric that.
Yeah. He has some character growth, and at the end, at the end of case 8, he's a different character than he was at the beginning of case 1. But you know, in telling the stories, I also had a main plot that I knew was going to be, that it was going to have an endpoint at some point, because, you know, it wasn't just going to be, oh, let's do Monster of the Week, Scooby-Doo, all the, you know, in mm-hmm. unending sort of thing. I'm eloquent. I know what I'm talking about.
I know.
So, yeah, I mean, that the idea of where your character is at the end of the story and when you realize what the end of your story is going to be, I guess it just kind of comes to you as you go.
For me, the thing that I took away from Ben Jordan was it's a little bit like Spider-Man where he has to make a choice at the end, you know, and I really like that. It's like, here's, you know, this has all been class. Here's your exam. Here's your test.
Yeah.
Who are you going to be at the end of the day, you know? So that's, I quite like that in a story. Saying Spider-Man because that was the first thing that came to my mind. I'm not saying Spider-Man is an amazing plot. But, you know, it's that's the thing, you know. You've got this character. Everything that they do is I won't say should, but it can be like a build-up for the final thing. You know, you've been doing all this stuff. You know, here's your chance to prove your worth. Here's your chance to, you know, redeem yourself or to, you know, to change who you are, or to become the thing that you believe in.
Yeah.
So that's the thing for me is to show a character who's gone, you know, time to make a choice.
And that's only one thing you can do, because I mean, not all stories have to be about you know, saving the world or proving yourself against anything.
Well, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. You know, it doesn't have to be about saving the world. It can be anything. It can be like, it can be a relationship. It can be a priest. You know, it's like the Shiva. You know, it gets to the end and you go, I have to make a choice now, even if you don't know you're making a choice. You know, that's how you define a character's sort of climax. Is put that, like, it's easy to say I'm a good person in an everyday situation. It's when you put a person under tension, under pressure, under stress, and they have to make those decisions. That's when the true colors show.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's for me. That's what I like when a story shows me that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also eloquent.
More than me.
Well, I spend most of my time doing pictures these days, not words anymore, so, you know, I've got an excuse. If we were doing this as a picture podcast, we'd be fine. I'd be set.
How would we do it as a picture podcast if it's audio?
I don't care. I don't care about technicalities. I'm just giving an Clearly. Excuse for me not being able to talk for a minute. Dude, you should finish American Gods. God damn it.
I read a little bit more of it last night.
Good. Then I'm glad. Good book.
Yeah. I'll read more of it. I promise.
Good. Okay. Good. Yeah. But also, there's times, you know, because we're focusing very much on script at the moment, on story, because that's the questions we got to ask. Yeah. I should say, a game doesn't need any of that crap to be fun.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, not all games have to be about, not all games have to be about just the troubled person who needs to redeem themselves. Or,
well, even so, like a story can emerge from a game, you know.
Yeah.
Look at. I'm gonna cite Doom because I like Doom a lot, and it's really got very little of a story.
Mm.
The tension in Doom comes from the fact that you're surrounded by goddamn demons that want to kill you. There's a tension there. You make your own story, you know? You're like, oh man, I got through that level with 3% health left. That's a story.
I guess.
Dude, how is that not a story? It's a thing that happens to someone. It's just that the thing that the person it's happening to is you.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, if you want to show tension in a game,
you know,
don't be afraid to explore the medium.
Yeah, to go off on a tangent, I always wondered about that whole...
You like tangents, don't you?
I love tangents, especially in my art, as we already said.
I know.
Now be quiet. Anyway, that's why I'm so looking forward to playing the... Oh, that's mean. Anyway.
Be nice.
I will be nice. Anyway, I never understood the whole percentage... health measured in percentage thing in
well, how else are you going to measure it, mate?
Yeah, I know, but just the idea of, like, I mean, it would be completely unfair to have, like, one hit kills in FPSs and stuff.
Well, it wouldn't, but I'm like, not saying it would, I wouldn't say it's unfair, but it doesn't match Doom's gameplay.
It doesn't, but just like, just the concept of being at 3% health, like, when you wake up in the morning, can you be like, oh, I feel really sick today, I'm at 45% health, you know? I don't know.
Well, if you're gonna call games out on presenting reality in silly ways, we could pick on every single game.
I know. It's just always a concept that made me laugh. Personally,
let me just say that I'm never getting you to fix my plane.
Well, you don't
There's
have
a joke
a plane.
That you'll get if no one else.
You don't have a plane, so hush.
That's what you think.
Really? Is it a biplane?
It can be anything I want, man. Lego's a powerful tool.
Oh, but Legos are not real planes.
You shut your filthy lying mouth right now.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you know what I want? I want Ovaltine. Have you had Ovaltine?
Not recently, no.
I'm going to get some of that from the store, man.
I had Nesquik.
Yeah, so Nesquik's good.
Oh, man, do you know what I bought today at the store?
Sure.
No, you don't. Don't say sure. You don't know what it is. Ah, but you know what? I'll tell you.
Seriously, your shopping lists are usually that limited that I could probably within 10 minutes find out.
Yeah,
without
well,
you have to tell me.
I just realized that it'll be a better impact if I show you on the webcam what I bought rather than tell you and on this podcast because no one cares. Anyway, do we have anything else to talk about
yeah,
games
I do,
or character?
Do.
Good.
I was going to say, if you're going to pick on games for arbitrary weird things where they break reality,
yeah.
You know what's really stupid is in Grand Theft Auto games and other open world games when you lose 3 cop stars by hiding behind a dumpster in an alley.
Oh, yeah, sure. Or by picking up floating stars in the world.
Yeah. So there, don't pick on Doom anymore. I'll hit you with logic of your games that you like.
What
so
a
there.
Violent what a violent podcast this is. We've threatened to hit each other.
I threatened to hit you with logic.
Okay. Well, I threatened
to hit you with
something
fact bombs.
You. Okay.
Give you a reality check on games that you enjoy you can now hate them.
If you keep on like that, I'm just going to hit you with love. How's that? Try that on for size.
Hit me with your best shot.
Don't
Fire
make me
away.
Don't make me sing my alternate version to that.
I know your alternate version, and I said this is a family friendly podcast.
It is a family friendly podcast, so we won't do that. Anyway, yeah.
What else do you want to talk about?
I actually forgot to mention when we were talking about characters who are jerks. Apparently. The main character in Watch Dogs is really, really, really an ass. And, like, he's mean to everyone, and he kills everyone, and he chokes women, and he's not a nice guy. And yet, there he is. So,
well,
yeah.
I think that's become a really popular thing to present since the BBC Sherlock thing.
Hmm.
You know?
But not but he has no... It's not like he's a detective. He's just a guy that goes around... Because
that doesn't mean people aren't going to try and represent that.
I
think they try to make edgy characters. You get like popular characters that people try and represent, and you know.
But
so,
Sherlock
we'll
Holmes
see.
Is nothing new. They've been edgy characters forever. It's not just BBC.
Okay,
Sherlock.
How many people that have seen the BBC Sherlock series and loved it do you reckon have actually read Sherlock Holmes?
Not many.
Including yourself, mate.
Yeah, but there was House before that, which was clearly based on Sherlock Holmes. And
well,
there
you go. That's the same thing.
Yeah.
So.
But- I'm
you
just
know,
saying
it's become a popular archetype. Things move in cycles, you know.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. So there's this whole new like I've got a little cousin who loves the BBC Sherlock things, and she's never read Sherlock Holmes. She doesn't want to read that stuff. It's written by some old dude that's been dead for ages and was like a Freemason. So you know,
what does him being a Freemason have to do with anything?
Nothing.
Then why do you bring it up?
Just saying, you know. How many Freemasons are there today?
A lot, actually.
Okay, well, I'm just trying to say he's old-fashioned.
I'm friends with one on Facebook.
Oh, yeah? Cool. My granddad was a Freemason, but he got out of it. He disagreed with some of their things, apparently. I never asked him before he died to show me the secret handshake, but I think he would have got offended.
My great-granddad was a Freemason.
I know Babar's granddad was a Freemason.
Well, there you go.
So we form like a Freemason grandpa club. So just him and I. You could have joined.
I could
have joined.
If only I had known.
You never told me. If only you'd known.
I'm sorry. Well, now you know.
Now I know. Yeah. I'm going to roll my trouser leg up right now just in observance.
What?
There we go.
What are you, in Compton?
No.
Okay, good.
Anyway, yeah. So I forget. Oh, we were talking about Watch Dogs. Yeah, I haven't played it yet, so we'll find out.
Yeah, well, I don't know that I want to play it though.
Well, dude, you've played enough open world action games to never try a new one. Like,
unless it does something new. And that was the thing that, like, they.
Well, Watch Dogs was meant to do something new. I don't know.
Watch Dogs, it was a good. There was a phrase in the review which I thought was appropriate, which they said the way that it was marketed, Watch Dogs could have gone one of two ways. It could have either been a hacking game with some shooting elements sprinkled in, or a shooting game with some hacking elements sprinkled in. And
obviously it's the latter.
It is the latter, yes.
Which I don't know if Ubisoft is the right person, the right entity to deal with a hacking game, because, you know, I think they're too worried about public perception and that they're not going to make huge risks. Mm. Whereas I think you need someone smaller, a little bit more willing to take that risk with a little bit less to lose.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I guess.
Have you played Hack and Slash by Double Fine? Isn't that in alpha funding now? Not alpha funding. Is early access alpha funding? I think it's the same thing.
I wonder if
that's going to be a good hacking game. Has there been there've been a few good hacking games.
Wait, is Hack and Slash like actually a hacking, like hackers and hack computers?
Yeah, it's like I'm pretty sure it's Zelda, except the hacking is actually hacking, and Slash is like forward slash, I think.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but yeah, because they're already making an RPG, the Massive Chalice. Remember?
Yeah, shows you how much attention I pay. There's another game that they're making that is similar in concept to the game that's coming out next week, Murdered Soul Suspect, which I'm hoping will be a good game, but it probably won't be.
What, Double Fine?
Yeah, Double Fine. They're making some where you're like, I forget what it's called, but it's like you're a detective and you live in a world where they make like a carbon copy of your body. So if you die, you can come back to life, but only for like a certain amount of time, and you can like buy more credit to be alive or something. But anyway, the guy is killed and he comes back and he has to solve his own murder. But he's not a ghost, he's just a clone.
That sounds like some dumb trailer that I watched of a guy that had like Groundhog Day on like a beach landing, where he experienced the same traumatic, you know, of beach landing. I didn't pay any attention to it whatsoever because it looked like typical Hollywood shit. Oh. So, you know, sorry, I can't tell you what film it was, but it looked dumb.
Oh,
so there's a thing. Okay.
Yeah. Oh well.
Good.
Yeah. Good. So, is there anything else we can talk about?
I don't know. What is there to talk about?
I don't know. There's plenty of things to talk about, but I'm starting to get hungry.
Okay, we'll play Glitch Hikers.
I will play Glitch Hikers eventually.
Well, dude, it's like 15 minutes. Seriously.
Okay, fine.
You get more out of that than 15 minutes of some crappy Let's Play of some game that you hate after 2 minutes of watching it. You know, it's not an amazing game, but it's better than everything you've been watching lately.
Okay, fine.
You'll get more out of it than GTA 5, I'm sure.
Maybe, probably.
And you like driving. You like road trips.
I do.
A road trip for me for like freaking 5 days or something.
That was a fun road trip.
That was good times.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes, good. Okay. All right, well, we already gave out our Twitters earlier to the Segway people, but you can also follow the Blue Cup Tools podcast at @BCT_podcast. You can also subscribe on iTunes, even though apparently the thing is messed up on phones, but
ridiculous. Sorry, Vince.
I tried making it better on FeedBurner, but I don't know if it did or not.
I don't know anything about this stuff. I'm sorry, Vince 12.
I don't either. I'm just kind of going through it and just bumbling my way across. And why is my CD drive opening up on my laptop? I don't know.
Man, you still have a CD drive? My laptop doesn't have a CD drive.
Yeah, mine does for some reason.
Have you used it yet?
I don't think I have, actually. I don't know. Wait, if you don't
At first, when I got one without an optical drive, I was like, man, it's got no optical drive. This is going to be weird. And then I was like, actually, this doesn't change that much.
It's all digital downloads nowadays anyway, so it's not like...
Yeah.
And all my old games, I can just install them on my desktop, so it's not like I need to put them on my laptop.
I've got a USB CD drive in case I want to install DOS games on somewhere.
Well, I've got a USB floppy drive, so...
I got one of those as well, but, good. You know.
We're living in the future.
Yeah, we're living in the future, but... The past is a nice place to visit sometimes.
Yeah, you're right. It is. Yeah. So, all right. Anyway, well,
thanks for listening, everybody. It was a pleasure to have you along again.
Yes, as always.
And, hopefully, we've shed some light on our questions that were asked this week.
Yeah, and if we haven't, well, sorry. We'll try again next time. And if you have any other questions you'd like us to answer, feel free to, well, at BCT Podcast or us or whatever.
We have to talk about programming next time, remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah, we do. And we have to
we should get Vince 12 on to talk about
programming. Well, we already have two guests lined up that we have to...
Man, we're celebrities.
Yeah, we are. We're vegetable celeries.
Yeah, Montgomery, fetch the buggy. He's my sir. I've decided. Good. Wake up. Hey, wake up. Come on. Oi, rise and shine. He's not. He's got his hand over his face. He's not going to wake up. He's what like, I'm not listening.
What a cat.
I said hand. It's a paw.
I know. He's I was going to call you out on that, actually. Right, good. Well, thanks for listening. Goodbye. Bye.